All right. Rick Haro is our sports business insider. We talk to him each
and every week. Lost him. I got to call him back.
So I was getting all wound up. I was like a pitcher on the pitcher's mound in full windup, and the umpire says, "Nope, time out.
Time.
There's a volleyball out in the stands." I'll wind it up again. Rick Haro, our sports business insider, with us. Rick, how are you?
Hey, Rick.
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good, good.
Not as good as Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, we just found out the Raiders paid him his roster bonus yesterday and cut him today. That makes a lot of sense.
$3 million. Here you go. Bye.
Wow. Well, you know what? It's business. That's life. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but are you watching the end of the Florida State Virginia Tech game?
No, we have golf on right now, but...
Oh, you can't, though. That's right. It is your network. It's overtime here. So there's a lot of stuff going on today, obviously.
Yeah, it's been kind of a fun day to be on the air for sure. I'd like you, if you could, we've heard so many different people dissect the Le'Veon Bell contract with the Jets. And as far as we could tell, he's only really guaranteed $25 million. And we're trying to figure out, was it worth it for him to sit out an entire year in his prime, not earn the $14.5 million last year, plus whatever else he would have gotten from the Steelers had he agreed to their contract the summer before? Have you been able to eyeball that and determine whether Le'Veon Bell made a good decision sitting out for a year?
Yeah, I think probably the answer is no. But, you know, you never know what goes into the mind of a guy. Pure financial issues, I think you're absolutely right. I think he'll probably lose money on the deal. And, you know, not to mention the endorsement stuff. I'm not sure how valuable he puts the approval of his teammates, mm-hmm. which is another issue. But, you know, I find the irony is that poor Steelers, you know, you don't need a bank sale for those guys. But on the other hand, the Rooneys are really, really good people, very civically inclined in Pittsburgh, never make any mistakes. And within a 2-week period, you have Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell both exercising the leverage that they can do, and you know, very, very few options that the Steelers actually have, as you're starting to realize.
Yeah, but Rick, if the sports business guru that you are, if you were Art Rooney, I would have said, you know what, you're going to sit here and stew. We're not doing anything right now, and you can just sit here and not show up. And if you don't show up, you're not going to get paid. I'm really perplexed as to why the Steelers thought they had to make this move when they did.
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, 2 years of festering and stewing over a bad actor in the locker room, and then a running back sitting out. I think they just may want to say enough is enough. We're going to cut our losses. It is true that they had the upper hand and they didn't have to do what they did. But on the other hand, you know, who knows what's going on in the locker room. And people may have just said, we've had enough. It's going to cost us. We could have been in a better position if we held him and made him sit, but we just had enough. Mm-hmm.
Rick Haro's with us. Rick, we could talk about so many financial issues with college basketball and shoe deals and all that, and we will. But where will you be spending Selection Sunday? Is this something you huddle around the fireplace, turn on the TV and watch, or you just catch it on the internet, or how are you going to be spending Sunday?
St. Patrick's Day, too.
The St. Patrick's Day thing would have affected me a few years ago, but not now. And the fact that it's predicted to be 85 degrees all weekend down here in South Florida, there ain't no fireplace to huddle around, so I'm going to be watching it probably live in real time, like everybody else. But then I'm going to go to a lot of the March Madness stuff. I'm going to go to Jacksonville for that round. I'm going to go to Anaheim, and we're going to have one of our book promotional deals in Minneapolis on the Sunday between the Saturday and Monday, the Final Four, then go straight to Augusta. Those 2 weeks are the two best weeks of the year, to be fair.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Good to be you.
Yeah, and again, and speaking, but I'm wondering how many bad brackets are going to be filled out initially, people that are going to bet legally and illegally, and most of it, a lot of it's legal now, because it's St. Patrick's Day and because of the grog and victuals that will be consumed before and after and during the whole bracket process.
Wow, yeah, no, that's a really good perspective. You know, I'm going to go buy a pet monkey and just give him a crayon and let him vie against my pet dog. And maybe I got a goldfish, so maybe the goldfish
you should do that.
Do this too. So we'll have to see. You know, the bottom line is this is I don't know what the percentage is, but we could say most people that fill out brackets don't know what they're doing. And even if they do, you know, who to pick Virginia to beat to lose to UMBC last year,
right?
Which blew everybody's bracket early. So it's that time of year again.
Yeah, some experts don't know what they're doing, that's for sure. All right, so Zion Williamson back in the lineup tonight. Don't know how much he's going to play for Duke. Has Nike recovered when the stock crashed, when his shoe blew up and all that stuff? Have they bounced back?
I think they won't bounce back completely from this for a while, but I do think, and Coach K was making the argument that he is ready to play him 100%. He's 100% healthy. It's just a stamina issue. Who knows? But if he has a decent game and a really good game, and if they win and then they go on and play Carolina next week, tomorrow, a lot of that stuff will be on the back burner. I don't think it'll be forgotten, but I think it'll be on the back burner. And, you know, here come the ads. Here come the ads poking fun at Nike. I don't think everybody was ready to do that if he was still out, but now we'll see what happens.
I wanted to ask you about this week, Operation Varsity Blues, as the FBI has called it. And, you know, I think a lot of this stuff has been going on for decades, to be honest with you, paying kids to take tests, bribes to get into certain schools. And I'm sure you've heard rumors. But just your whole thoughts on the entire scenario. And should anybody really be surprised by this?
No, I don't think they'll be surprised, but I think they'll be surprised that there's been such a coordinated investigation that's gone so deep and how wide it's going to be. So, you know, we had the basketball scandals. We had the point-shaving scandals years ago. And I think we've seen the tip of the iceberg here, because usually with a big investigation, you indict the guys who you think are going to sing first, then you have them sing against the next folks. So I think we're at the first layer. Who knows what's going to happen with the first layer?
Well, what's the bigger story, the FBI investigating the college basketball scandal or the FBI investigating the college bribes for the rich and the famous, bribing to get their kids into schools across the country? I know your daughter got in legitimately, but Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives was led away in cuffs by the FBI with guns drawn the other day.
Yeah, 1 and 1A. You know, that's not a sports story, but it is a soccer program, so I guess it is a sports story. And at the end of the day, this is one of those things where you may have to see which one is a bigger story. They are both big in their own way.
Now, why is the FBI doing this stuff? Is it because they're looking for the people that didn't pay taxes on their $25 million in bribes, or what?
No, I think they're doing it because they want to create a kind of a big scene based on legal issues that could be done at the state level. But a lot of this is interstate transfer and interstate funding. So at the end of the day, the FBI has jurisdiction, and so this is a hot issue. So if it's a hot issue, go for it, I guess.
Hmm. Well, I think late last week, collegiate athletes now may have a more direct path to compensation, as a judge ruled late last week against the NCAA model in federal antitrust lawsuits. So what's that all about?
Well, the antitrust lawsuit has been in existence. This is about damages, and it is a victory for the student athletes, but not as big a one. It'll seem to continue the debate, because the judge ruled that the limits of the benefits to expenses as far as damages in the future related to education, which what it means is that there won't be any damages about the likenesses and the names that are impacted once you leave and once you go pro. And so it's still going to be a big issue. The damages just might have been less than they were before.
So they'd be able to get paid for their image if it's being sold on campus. They'll be able to get compensated for that.
They got to go through the whole legal system, and the judge has to actually find for the plaintiffs. Which all they're doing is kind of creating the ground rules now, so we're still away from the ruling.
Talking with Rick Haro with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. I saw in some of your materials that, I mean, we know the NBA is pretty good with social media, and of course that translates into reaching the youth. But I saw that the ratings for 18 to 34-year-olds in the NBA, down 11% this year, down 50% from 2010. That's obviously a big problem if the youth are no longer interested in basketball. I thought that's where they were strong at. I mean, is the NBA becoming Major League Baseball, where their audience is getting older and the young people aren't interested anymore?
I think it's the young people interested in getting games when they want it, how they want it. And I think it's, you know, Adam Silver was right because he says the biggest issue is we've got to make sure that the youth realize when a game starts at 7:30, it starts at 7:30, not when they want to pull it up. And so you'll see a lot of programming on all of these podcasts and everything else. It's key to the NBA as snippets, as snackable bites, all of that stuff that they talk about. And the bottom line is that millennials want stuff when they want it. And if you tune in a game at 8:30, you ought to be able to see highlight packages, and you ought to see a structure of a game, and you ought to get credit for that rating for the game, whether or not people are watching the full game or not. So we're a way away from having all that happen, but that's where it's going.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It seems like they want the cake and eat it too. Although, but on the other hand, right, is it DirecTV or who's offering the package where you can just watch the fourth quarter if you want
and pay
for it?
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, Adam Silver and his folks are approving of that, because they're saying anything that gets millennials interested in any context is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Baseball going through the same stuff, trying to get everybody interested as well. We now have a new election day for the All-Star game. We're going to pay the Home Run Derby winner $1 million to get better talent involved. A lot of changes, expanding rosters, three batter limit or minimum for pitchers. No more one pitchers and or one batter and done for the relief pitchers. What do you think about all these changes? I'm interested in how Major League Baseball is making all these rules with the union and the owners all agreeing, even though they're supposed contentious collective bargaining agreement is going to end until 2021. I guess this is a good sign if they're knocking all this stuff out now ahead of time, correct?
Yeah, and they're experimenting with a lot of this stuff, which means they're getting along with the union. You know, one of the issues that's been in minor league baseball for a while is extra inning games. The runner starts on second base,
Yeah. Which
is also cool. And they're thinking about doing that for the All-Star game if there's extra innings. So a lot of issues. Some will work, some won't. You know, you give me a league that's tweaking stuff, and I'll show you a league that wants to continue to improve its product. So that's good for them.
Rick, the Cubs are going to have their own TV network shortly, but as a precursor, they've launched a YouTube channel as well. Is this the direction you could see for many teams in Major League Baseball in the future?
Well, yeah, what they're trying to do is shake it out first. I think a YouTube channel will be the way to go for a lot of people. They'll test their shoulder programming. They'll test their interviews, everything that's not related to the X's and O's. I think they'll test doing it this way. And when you think about it, it's going to be one of those deals where you're going to have more and more people getting better at the quality of it before the marquee network, which is the Cubs' new network, is launched.
All right, Rick, you mentioned how the book tour is coming. You're doing the stuff around March Madness. That's great. How's the book doing, by the way?
Yeah, it's doing well. I don't know what the sales figures are, but, you know, there's a frenzied line at my house. I thought it was people getting here early for trick-or-treating, but it's not. It's people, you know, who want to talk to me. No, that ain't happening.
How do they all get in past the gate and the guard?
And well, we turn the electricity off in the electric gate, but we tell people it's only for like a half hour. So, you know, they can bring their hot dogs and do it up against the electric gate. So, nobody come near me, okay? I'll tell you when I want to see you.
Very controlled chaos. All right, Rick, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Talk to you. Bye.
All right, that's Rick Haro from Horror Sports Ventures, and always a good inside conversation on the business side of sports.
He's the best.